Welcome to C3 San Diego. Need something fresh, real, and powerful in your life? Connect with us on social media, get live stream service notifications, podcasts, and up-to-date information on upcoming events. We are so glad you're joining us for a powerful, life-transforming message from one of our C3 San Diego pastors. We would love to hear about how God is impacting your life through this ministry. Please share your experience with us at info@c3sandiego.com. If you'd like to be a part of what C3 Church is doing in the city of San Diego and beyond, you can contribute financially by going to c3give.com and choosing the giving option that works best for you. We hope you enjoy this message.
Well, thank you for the welcome home. It's, it is bittersweet, but you know when God's in it, you can't say no. And, it's so funny, but, it took a prophet from down under to come here and shake the cage and prophesy over us. And, I was committed to whatever our senior leadership wanted. But you can be committed, in here, but you're 18 inches away from maybe committed in here. Because, when you've done 12 years with family and you get comfortable. But there's two things with comfortable. So all growth happens outside the comfort zone. If Pastor Michaela and I would have stayed here, what we've done spiritually, growth. But when you're sent out, and you know what a hard decision that is for your senior leadership to make such a bold move? You got to give it props. They hear from the Lord to shake and rattle it up so much to go send it out. And then literally 5 weeks later, a prophet that came over to preach here gave a word saying, this is what the Lord says. And we didn't tell him anything. And so I just got to give, total honor to Pastor Juergen and Leanne for, making the tough calls to grow the house of God. And it's what grew myself to the next level. I would have been content staying here forever on the front row, just service leading the 8:30. But how many knows, we had to get out of the way and the Hunley's stepping up, just crushing it. Our dear friends crushing it. Props to, Pastor John and Becky. And you're right, doing life alone. And before we sit down, but I want to pray for myself and you that, that God really speaks through me today because, I don't want to come back and woo, awesome. Has nothing to do with about me. But it has everything to do with what God's doing in this house, this city, this state of California, and this nation. Because really, as California goes, so goes the country. So don't think you don't play a huge part in what's about to go down. So you have to take a city first to take a state. And then once we take the state, let me tell you what the rest of the country is going to do. And if you don't believe me, we'll prophesy into those things, So get ready. Let me pray. God, we thank you for tonight. God, I thank you for what you're doing right here at Central Campus. I thank you what went down on Thursday night. These high schoolers will never be the same. And I thank you that the next generation is going to hear the gospel. Whether we live it out or preach it out, they're going to see what we're doing in this house. So God, we just ask that you soften our hearts, you open our minds, you open our eyes to see what's about to go down tonight, Lord, that we catch, that we reach out, that we grab it, that we shove it into the soil, and we don't let it come up until it's fruit. So we thank you for what you're about to do in this house. In your son's name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right. Here we go. You guys can be seated. Yeah, I saw Washington, D.C. is watching tonight. That's my brother and my sister-in-law. I know they're totally judging me right now. Yes, I know my jeans are skinny as my wife's. Thank you, Michael. He's in the Navy, so he's like, what is my brother doing? Oh. Yeah, thank you. When you hang out with Aussies, everything starts changing, I was like, nah, I'll never be wearing that. 3 years later, you're wearing it. Watch out what you pray for. So how many of you are ready for a good word tonight? This is the funniest part. I literally preached this message in August. It didn't get recorded. And how many know God always has a bigger plan? Because I can't believe he didn't record that. I got to listen to it. And then my notes went missing. So then when you go rewrite the whole thing, I'm you know, up in Portland last week, and God is downloading and downloading and downloading, actually, the mature message of what I preached in August. It's hard to say that. So pretty much my message I preached, it was weak sauce. It's what the Holy Spirit was telling me. It was like, yeah, that was way too weak for C3. So anyways, you know, it's like, I mean, you know, you can't write with a broke pen. You know why? There's no point. Yep. Okay, that's perfect. There's my Presbyterian section right over there. Just trying to locate where my presos were. I grew up Presbyterian. I always kind of want to see where they are. Tell a little joke. It's kind of like, you know, why do dairy cows have hooves? They lactose. I'll stick to preaching. All right. All right. You know, it was funnier in my mind when I was working it out, but you guys are a tough crowd. If you guys are laughing online, just, you know, put a little emoji on that thing. So I was up at this chiropractic conference last week, and I was emceeing the whole thing, and my buddy runs it. And the whole theme of this whole thing was about the brain. And I could tell you that I love reading, and, you know, if you don't read, you should, or podcast, or download audiobooks. But what happened was Dr. Carolyn Leaf showed up. Yeah, yeah, seriously, if you don't know her work, amazing. All right, PhD, doctor in awesome sauce, all about the brain, all about neuroscience, and she has written some of the foremost books and an authority in that subject. And so I want to preface this real quick before we dive into it. When I did this sermon before, I had all these great psychology stats, and I'm still going to drop those on you because they're good. But she literally preached my message like 10x better. Like, I was sitting there dumbfounded. And what you got to understand, see, we have a brain and a body. But she was talking about we are a mind, spirit, and a body. And what you got to understand is your mind is not your brain. Your mind is all the synapses, the firing, the thoughts that you think, okay? And they wire your brain a certain way. And your mind and your soul, your spirit, affect our body. And so it's amazing. Some of the things that we even do, our actions, all that kind of stuff is affected by the thoughts that we think. And so, you know, the whole title of my message is Rewired. And really tonight I felt what the Holy Spirit was going to do. He's going to rewire some of our stinking thinking. And what we might not even know is that we have some of that stinking thinking. Or even if we know that we do, we don't know how to get out of it. We don't know how to overcome it. And, you know, so I want to teach Bible, science, and just give you the scripture so you can use it as a tool. Because so many think that this is just a book, that it's outdated, and how are we going to apply it? See, growing up, studying the things that I studied, I was all about personal development. And the more I'd go down the personal development road, the more I was at C3, I was going, man, they are ripping off the word and not giving credit to it. And what I love what Dr. Carolyn Leaf was saying at this conference was, back in the 60s and 70s, 80% of all the scientists were atheist or agnostic. In the 90s, it became like 50-50. Now in the 2015, 16, 17, it's flipped the other way, the triangle upside down, that most of the scientists today have a belief in that there has to be a creator, God, Jesus. And she's saying the more that they're researching science because of technology. How many know technology now is catching up to what the word always said? See, it's amazing. Everyone wants to disprove this, but the more that technology comes out that we can research science, the more that it's validating what God's always been saying. So when are we going to get on board and just be like, dang, you know, I'm preaching to the choir. But it's amazing how, even though being raised in a Christian family, I still had my doubts as I went through school because I just thought I was smarter than that. But the longer I've been in the Word, the more I'm starting to realize, man. And so for you young people, you are way ahead of the curve tonight because you're about to get dropped some knowledge that might freak your brain out. But it's good for you. So how many know someone a little crazy? Is that the person next to you? Be honest. No, not in this place. See, the new psychology term that everyone's like, it's a little PC, it's emotional intelligence. You know, back in the day, they'd be like, that person's so negative, That person's so positive. Now it's all about emotional intelligence. It's the same thing, people. They're just trying to like wrap it up, packages, and sell you another book. So since we're going to do that, this is, like, by the way, hashtag back to church series. Okay, just this is why we're in church. You know, I saw this meme yesterday. It was hilarious. They're like, yeah, man, haven't seen you at the club in a while. Next line, yeah, I haven't seen you at the bank in a while. Mom, if you don't know what that means that if you spend a lot of time at the club, you're probably not going to be making money, so you won't see you at the bank. Does that help? I just want to break down a couple points for my mom that's watching. Because then she'll be hitting her husband like, what did he just say? What did that mean? So I just want to, so thank you for bearing with me. Just a couple side notes. It's only going to happen probably two or three times. But so there's two types of people. There's high EQ and low EQ. So the low intelligent, okay, or the high emotional intelligence. And so really, what I want you to understand is this whole model that Dr. Leaf talks about in this book, and we'll give a little shout out to it, The Perfect You. She did send me some cool things that I'm going to share with you in a little bit. She's like, oh, drop some knowledge on the church. The church needs it. You know, it's amazing because the personal development world is eating this up. The church is like, well, maybe. Wow. Listen, there's some stuff out there. There's more scripture in this than probably, I don't know, the last 20 books I've read. She's dropping knowledge all through this book, lining it up with scripture. And I'm telling you, this is the best book I've written in 2017. Wow. That I've read. And it's amazing. It's called The Perfect You. And I bring it up because she talks about how you think will determine how you feel, and how you feel will determine what you choose. See, I've always studied this stuff since, like, you know, 03, and I've been nerding out on goal setting, all this positive affirmation. I wrote my own mind mastery cards just to help myself out. And I tell you this because when you're in a groove for a while, people will go like, oh, yeah, he's always been that way. Yeah. I've always been positive, and I'll tell you why in a minute because there was another book written about that. But I haven't had to really practice worrying about my toxic thinking until I took over North County. And I don't say that because 2 days after my wife and I say yes, I had a great friend steal 300 G's from me. I lose $100 and I get a little upset. So let me tell you, that is like the biggest kick you can take, especially from a close friend. You know what the next biggest kick was? When the Holy Spirit says, don't sue him. Does anyone think there's any negative thoughts that could come up? I had a couple towards him and a couple towards God. So now is the time where I have to either live what I preach, because back in the day when I was younger, I didn't even have that much money to worry about. So if I got, you know, hosed by a friend, that means they just shafted me with the pizza bill. I'm like, all right, I can get over that. I'm not taking you to pizza anymore. But when you're older, you got some stuff going, you got a family, you got business, you got investment, guess what? Things start to shift. Now, can I control my stinking thinking towards that person? Can I control my toxic thoughts that I'm having? I got to tell you, I had to put in everything I'm preaching today into effect to see. And let me tell you, it was amazing. I felt the peace of the Lord come on me. I felt joy get back in me. But then I'd get on Instagram and I see he's living the high life, and immediately guess what would well up? Oh, he's living the high life on my coin. And you know what I do? The Holy Spirit had to say, what's it worth to you? And then showed me a picture that if I pursued it, that if I had to take him down just to try to get something back, it would have caused a split between him and his wife, affect his marriage. His little girl might grow up to hate their daddy because it ruined the family, all for money. And God says, is his soul worth you swallowing your pride? And immediately it brought me to my knees in the fear of the Lord and trusting God, because how many know he's our restorer, he's our redeemer? You can't believe in God unless you believe in the redemptive God over everything. And I had to trust that God would take care of my resources, my finances, replenish me, and bring back what's been taken. I had to trust. So I choose, like, I'm going to unfollow so I can keep joy in my heart. And let me tell you, I haven't lost a second of sleep over it. I haven't had the devil rob me of any joy since, and I've been applying everything I'm about to let loose, because if I can do it again, how many know that you can do it here? It's about application of what we need. So I want to bring this into reference to the Bible too, and so an example would be, think about David, King David. Didn't start off as a king, started off as just a shepherd boy, watching over the flock, and his dad didn't even really give him props for that. And then when he goes down to meet a king, King Saul, how many know that there's someone with high EQ and someone with low EQ? If I have to give you the characteristics, who spoke life? Who looked for the best in people? Who knew how to respect and honor when he wasn't getting any himself? And what I thought was interesting, if you flip it over and look at King Saul, who was negative, toxic, victim mentality, he was angry, fearful, wanted to kill King David, wasn't the king yet. It was amazing, the two, how they operated. And the one that I will tell you had a heart after God was King David. So what are the things that he did? You look all through his life. You know, King David didn't always make the right choices. Do you guys know that? Slipped up a couple times, but it's amazing that he always went to praise, that he wrote some psalms. It's amazing to see some of the things that he did that always put him back on the right path to victory, that always put him back, even to the point where later on in the Bible, in Matthew, it talked about Jesus sitting in the throne of David. He was getting props in later books, still getting preached about today. It's just not about the David and Goliath story. It's about how he was during the hard times and the good times. After he was still a total jackwagon, but still knew how to get his praise on. Even when he was upset with God, he would call God out and say, but whatever you want, Lord. Read some of the Psalms. Some of them, man, it's like a passionate spoken word, bomb drop. But it's amazing how God kept restoring him, kept filling him up with joy, with faith, no matter what he went through. You know, and each king, if you look how their life ended, they ended completely different. Which one do you want to be like? So why does this all matter, this whole EQ, high EQ, low EQ? Here's why. It affects you and me right here. And I'm not talking the brain. See, when we die, people still have a brain, but they lose their mind. Their spirit is not in the body anymore. So the mind and the spirit are connected. That's why it says renew your mind. Take every thought captive. And so I want you to try to separate when we start thinking about the mind as this physicality thing. It's not. It's this mind that's always in operation, always working. And what you think, those toxic thoughts, are matter, and it's changing every day the situations that you're in. Here's how it goes. So this is a total of how we are, how you think, how we feel, how we choose. Carolyn Leaf in her book talked about we're wired for love. Do you know that actually addiction isn't a bad word? We're supposed to be addicted to love. God is love. He created addiction when in perfect love, we're addicted to him. We're addicted to relationship. But how many know if we don't have God in our life, we look for other things that we can get addicted to, whether it's money, greed, relationships, substance abuse, whatever it is. But that addiction that was created, the word addiction is in the Bible, and it talked about being addicted to love. How many know that our world would look a little bit different if we were addicted to love? It's pretty crazy. So we have a mind, we live in a body, and we are spirit. The brain and the body do what the mind and the spirit tell it to do. Hello. So here's some facts for you, some high EQ facts. The top 500 Fortune companies, they did this thing. 85 of all of the CEOs for Fortune 500 companies had a high EQ. Your EQ is responsible for 58% of your job performance. People with a high EQ make $29,000 more annually than someone of their counterpart. So if you took, there's a test out there, by the way. You can go online, take your EQ test and figure it out, okay? If you are toxic or around toxic, low EQ people, these are the scientific facts that happen. You ready for this? Negative people show stress on their brain. MRIs will show that their brain is shrinking. The telomere length is shortening due to negative stress in their life. Stress has a negative effect on the brain. Exposed to a few days of stress, and you compromise the effectiveness of the neurons in the hippocampus. This is what's crazy. Your hippocampus controls your emotions, your memory, and your autonomic nervous system. So if you're stressed, it says you affect your hippocampus, which is about reasoning, meaning you don't make good decisions under stress. Yep. Weeks of stress cause reversible damage to neural dendrites, and the amount of stress can permanently destroy every neuron. Stress affects performance and decreases creativity. So what's happened is, that's why they're saying, I did this message not to, rest is your weapon. The more we, that's why actually Jesus spoke on the Sabbath and how important the Sabbath is, because you got to decompress so you don't ruin your mind. Hello. Here's more research. Department of Biological Clinical Psychology in Germany, in Frederick University, found that exposure to negative stimuli that cause negative emotions in you is the same effect when you deal with toxic people. So what they're saying is toxic people affect your brain just like a negative stress response. So whether you have a negative thing in your life happen to you or you're around negative people, it affects your brain the same way. The study concluded, whether cruelty, negative victim, or plain crazy, toxic people drive your brain into a stressed out state and should be avoided at all cost. How many say hashtag back to church? The next hashtag after that is Jesus heals. So sometimes we just need to come to a grow night to get our mind right. Okay, you missed that part. Tomorrow's about miracles and healings. You know how many know you could have a miracle, which means you're healed instantaneously. You could also get prayed for a healing and get on the right track to get your body, your mind, your spirit all healed up. It's important. So what's the solution? Here's this crazy, I got to read this stat. This guy wrote the book, another favorite book of mine that I'm crushing right now. It's called Authentic Happiness. Okay, it's by Martin Seligman. He's a PhD in psychology. Who you are speaks so loudly, I can't hear what you're saying. I'll say that again so you can hashtag that. Who you are speaks so loudly, I can't hear what you're saying. This is what he said. There's a happiness formula. How many want the formula? Just 10 of you. I'm telling you, North Campus, I get a little better response. I'm just saying. No, I'm just joking. How many want the happiness formula? Tap your girlfriend, boyfriend, say, that's for you, honey. How many single people we have? Raise your hand. Come on. Brad Jones, your hand didn't go up. You're not single anymore? See, hey. Favor of the Lord. Favor of the Lord, I'm telling you. Man, Central's good soil. He was at North forever and single. Came to Central, bam. Hey, get plugged in the house of God, people, right there. I can stop preaching. That was a word for somebody. All right, happiness formula. Ready? H equals S plus C plus V. You ready for this? All right, H equals enduring level of happiness. So it's just who you are. It's your enduring level of happiness. That's the quotient that it's gonna end with, okay? So here's S. S equals the set range of happiness. So they say 50%. So you remember how everyone talks about is the half, you know, the glass half full or half empty? Some people are just born genetically thinking half full. The other 50%, half empty. So you are born. How many know that your environment and everything changes and it can affect you? What just speaker turned on? I think I hear myself. That thing just blew up in my face right there. So what I'm saying is that's not increasing my levels of happiness, but I look down, I see my beautiful bride. That does increase my levels of happiness. So the S is the set range of happiness. You're either born and you're wired with that happy factor. I wake up, man, I'm happy. My wife, it takes a few minutes. So, but here you know is, this is what the book says. You were wired genetically a certain way, but chemistry and who you're around, they say your brain does change due to your environment. So your genetics change. That's quantum physics. That's the whole genetic code right now. They knew, they used to say, nope, none change. They now know it changes. So your environment, who you're around, you know why I like doing life with these people? Because they're always uplifting, inspire me, and speak life into my wife and I. And guess what? I feel better about myself even on a bad day. So let me tell you, who you're around matters. C equals circumstance of life. So social life, marriage, spirituality. They say the number one factor in this category, which is, what did I write? It's 15%. Of this one, of the C, the circumstance of life, has to do with serving and spirituality is the two biggest factors in that one. Amazing. And the last one is voluntary factors, such as the choices we make every day, 35%. So it's amazing because if you're making the right choices every day, which is 35% of your life, increases your level of happiness, which then changes your genetic makeup because your mind changes. So really, 85% of this has nothing to do with circumstance of just life. Equals your enduring level of happiness. This has been tested at Stanford. They've done psychological studies on this. This is out of one of the most, they've done research on this, and he wrote an entire book called Authentic Happiness. And what it boiled down to, if I had to give you one word, it was serving, made the difference. Pretty crazy. Yep. So I want to get back to just talking about what did David do. See, here's the thing. As we rewire in Psalm 40, here I am, here I have come, the desire to do your will, O God. That was Psalm 40. That's what David said. See, he had a heart after God. He wasn't perfect, but he had a heart after God. As a boy, he served, he praised, he honored. You look up Psalm 18:3. As a warrior, he served his king, he praised the Lord, and he honored. As king, he served, he praised, he honored. Even when he was king, he still showed honor to people. It's amazing. That was Psalm 23:6. He was faithful. So Dr. Carolyn Leaf in this book, she says, how do we change it? Because it's one thing to hear about it, but how do you change it? I mean, I hear a lot of great sermons. Give me some practical stuff. Goes through this whole book. Here's what I want to tell you. She said three things. To change toxic thinking or to take you to the next level. Because this says the perfect you. If we're supposed to be in the likeness and the image of Christ, who is perfect, God is laying out a blueprint for your identity. He says, you know, all have fallen short. But he does give the blueprint for success, which is your identity. And I'm telling you what, these are the three things she narrows it down to. Thanksgiving. You have to prophesy. You give God thanks for his help. If you're not yet there yet, you still prophesy and you thank God for his help. Second, you praise God. He is with you. You're not alone. He's with you. And three, worship God to activate the wisdom you need to get through what you need to get through. So the trick is thanksgiving, praise, and worship. It's amazing what we do in here. We always get our praise on. How many know that you can come in feeling a little bit bad about yourself and you get praise on, you feel something shift in your spirit? Come on. That's what I love about our worship. There ain't a banjo up here and one large lady on the keys. I grew up in an opera house, man. I was like, it's hard to get my praise on with Hymnal 41. I felt guilty the whole time. But I'm telling you, we come in and we get our praise on, and then we get up and we pray, which is worship. I love this quote that's in this book. You cannot medicate your way out of a problem that your behavior got you into. Grow Nights tomorrow night, if you didn't know. Come get some healing. Because how many know that even if you're wired, if you've had negative things, remember, it's not all you. You could have been around a negative environment. So you don't have to beat yourself up. But what I'm saying is you got to get out of that negative environment. And then how do you shift it? How do you change it? You allow people to speak into your life. You allow and you start to prophesy over your life. Listen, I was all about it, fake it till you make it. That's what I think. I had stuff on the wall that I didn't believe. How many set goals? You don't have them yet, but you're sure prophesying. You're writing them down. You're putting a date. And how many know that goal setting has results to it? All the studies are out there. So in 1 Corinthians 2:16, I think we have that. Oh, that's cool. Nice. Who has known the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ, which brings me into another solution. See, in Galatians 5:22 and 23, it's the fruit of the Spirit. And hopefully I have that slide because I think this is so powerful. Maybe in the name of Jesus. It's in a folder. It looks good. Okay, but I can read it. There should be a diagram of a tree. Be the fruit. It says here, but the fruit of the Holy Spirit, the work which was in a presence within, accomplished in love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and faithfulness. And if we could show that tree, hopefully. Oh my gosh, this is awesome. Okay, here's the tree. So what the whole image is love gets you up here. Those are the fruits of the Spirit. But how do you get the fruits of the Spirit in your life? Look at the roots. Healthy thoughts, healthy emotion, healthy words, healthy choices, healthy dreams, healthy seeds, healthy faith, love, healthy touch, healthy health. It's amazing because look at the big ones over there, and it translates to love, which translates to the fruit of the Spirit. That's the Word of God. If you want to change the way you think, get around people with the fruit on that tree. Because, you know, when I was first around Pastor Jurgen, it was uncomfortable because he would prophesy such nice things to me. He would say so many, I would be like, oh, man, you're amazing. You're awesome. I mean, he dropped awesome all the time. And you got around it, I was like, man, I started to believe it. It's like my mom used to tell me I was the best, and I found out in high school later after I graduated I wasn't the best at football. I would have never known. I literally would come home, you were the best. Yeah, it was so amazing. At halftime when you got to run out with the team, it was honestly, even though I've never had to wash your jersey all season, you were the best. I mean, you were amazing. When they put you in at the end of the game and you went to swat that ball and you missed, it was amazing. But just the way you went up for it, it was one of the best I've seen all year. Mom, thanks. But I believed it. I came to this church, I started believing in that I could change my life, that I could change my finances, that I could change my circumstance, that I could marry an amazing woman, 9 years younger that didn't know Jesus at the time. Came to church on her first Sunday and she raised her hand, got saved. And then I'm thinking to myself, oh man, she doesn't even know David and Goliath's story. I'm gonna have to send her through some 101 Bible. 3 months later, you know what Pastor Jurgen sits me down as we're having coffee? You need to step up your spiritual leading, man. She's passing you up. What? No, I've been a Christian for 30 years. She's not passing me up. Think so. My own pastor called me out, tell me how to stick up my man game for faith. Better get in the word again. Shoot. I thought at least it would take 5 years to catch up. Men. You got to lead the ladies. Don't let them lead you. So what's amazing is this is the formula. That tree is the formula. But that's out of the Word of God. She put a nice tree to it. And I got to give thank you, Dr. Leaf, the new book, The Perfect You. It's in there. PDFs, go to the website, get it. Thank you. But listen to this. Plasticity of the brain allows it to mold and change as you practice new behaviors, even when you fail. Do you know that you can wake up, you can give it a go, and if you fail, you're still laying down neurons? Okay? It's like anything. You know, when you're starting to learn Spanish and you don't know what you're doing, you just try to say it a few times. The more you say it, the more your neurons wire your brain. You break your right hand, you start going with your left. Your penmanship looks horrible in the beginning, but guess what? After a while, it's looking pretty good because you're laying down the neurons. Even if you fail to make that A. The more you practice it, the more the neurons strengthen themselves. It's amazing. Implementation of new behaviors and stress-relieving techniques for dealing with difficult or different people will train your brain to handle them effectively and decrease negative effects. So how did I do it? This is my hashtag, Dr. Matt's Daily, okay? When I wake up, because I was around this church environment, and this is no joke, I have to give props because where you go to church matters. If they don't believe that healing's for today, but if I have a friend that needs healing, we don't have to put God in a box. Like, did I ever think I'd be this passionate or ever want to preach in church? I never think that, man. I was happy life. And I can tell you no, but there's a craving for more because you see the truth, and the truth will set you free. So what I tell you is this is what I had to do. I wake up every morning. These are the 7 things that I do to prepare my mind. Are you ready? Real quick. I set limits. I plan my day. I know who I'm going to meet with. I know who I'm going to be around. And I wonder and I think about, do I have to guard my thoughts with anybody I'm meeting with today? And if it is a negative person, pastoral care, whatever it may be, I put a limit on it. I'm going to only allow that person, if I'm going to my hairstylist, which I switch, so I don't have to worry about it. But back in the day, you probably couldn't tell, don't worry about it. But what I'm saying is, you know, you get around people that are speaking life, not throwing up on you for 45 minutes. Okay? If you're going to set yourself up with a trainer, get Mitch. That guy's speaking life at 5 a.m. I don't like him at 5 a.m., but let me tell you, I'm speaking life in my head. So, number 2, I rise above. Even if I woke up and I was a little off, I have to rise above how I feel so I make better choices. You have to take an inventory of how you woke up and how you're feeling. You can't wake up just going charge, charge, charge all the time. You might wake up with an off day. But I'm telling you, you can switch it right then. You can choose different. And how do you might choose different? Sometimes I have to put praise on. So I have my song. I have three of them. Sometimes I get stuck on a song for like an hour. Like Sunny Days. I've probably worn that song out right now. But I'm telling you, I need a sunny day. Number three, stay aware. Remember, the devil comes to kill, steal, and destroy. How can you be off your guard? Stay aware. Listen to your thoughts. Take every thought captive. He tells you, and then renew your mind. So even if you have a negative thought, just take it and then speak life into it. Like, don't let that negative thought be the last one you hear yourself say. If you have to start just reading something, read scripture. Go through the Psalms. Read something that builds your spirit up on the inside of you. Hence, I had to make up my own cards. Number four, forgive. I go through my forgiveness inventory from the day before. Who ticked me off? Okay. You know, but it's sometimes I never have to get to number four. But then again, sometimes I do. You know, even if it's a little thing. Like, I don't want a seed to get planted. So it could just be a small little thing that was in my spirit that I'm listening to later. If the Holy Spirit nudges me about that person, I just pray for him. Every time I've prayed for people I don't like, I watch them get blessed. And I felt great about it. Number five, no negative self-talk. You speak life over yourself. Even though, you know, I was joking, my team was giving me a hard time about it. I was like, oh yeah, Fatty Maddie, I'm hiring a trainer. No, no, no. I had my own team check me on that. You know, don't give the devil a foothold in anything in your life. Number six, accountability. I had this inner circle that I just got together with, and I said, who's your accountability partner? And it was funny. They all, like, you know, some of them didn't have one, some of them did. And, you know, a couple guys gave me the names. Perfect. I grabbed my phone. They're like, what are you doing? I said, I'm going to call them. Oh, why are you going to call them? Yes. Well, do they know they're your accountability partner? It's amazing how many, so many people think they have an accountability partner, but that person doesn't know. Because you know why? You've never asked permission. Meaning this, if I said, hey, Charles, I need an accountability partner, man. I love you. You're high integrity. I have to ask him because I'm giving him permission to speak into my life. Same thing with Pastor John. You can't just say, oh, my accountability partner is so-and-so. You have to ask them. That's where the power is. They need to know. See, I had a couple guys that just assumed, well, Dr. Matt, you can speak into my life. You're my pastor. No, no, no. You've never asked me. If you did get off the ringer, surely I would. But look, who's speaking into your life on a weekly? Who could you call right now because you need prayer? You have some negative thoughts or you're about to cross the line, you know, with your girlfriend, your boyfriend, and you just need someone there for you. Come on. You got to call. You got to get on the dial because you know what? Souls are on the line. And yours matters. And the last one, number seven, is prayer. People are like, oh, man, thanks for starting that prayer meeting. I didn't do it for you. I did it for me. I need accountability with my brothers. I need to hear the God stories to build my faith. I need to be around it. These are the things that I have to do to keep my mind clear and all the objectives so I can take ground for the kingdom. You know, it's funny. The only people I notice that get burned out are the two people that they let too many negative people in their life. And the second part is they don't have a prayer life. Those are the two things. Anybody I've met with a prayer life and keeps their environment clean, I've never seen them get burned out in the marketplace or the ministry. And you know what? You can do both. So I knew it with this. Why church? You know why church? Church has saved my life. I could get emotional, but I won't. I'm not going to let you see me sweat out of my eyes tonight. But some of the greatest relationships, but more than that, this is the three things that I found what church did for me. It brings instruction. Why should not one seat be empty in this house? How many people know we're in a crazy world that need to hear a gospel of love about a Savior that died for you and I? So we could try to be and live a perfect life. We'll still fall short. But there's a God that has so much love for his kids, he's willing to do anything for us. Number two, it brings hope. This is the greatest hope dealership you could ever go to. All they want you to do is know that, hey man, tomorrow's gonna be better than today ever could be. The question is, do you believe it? Do you speak it? Do you live it? Do you get around people that do? Number three, it creates high EQ social environments. Why do we do connect groups? You know why? So you can find other like-minded individuals to do life with. If not, they're going to find it somewhere because we are created for companionship, for relationship. They're downtown. I mean, if we didn't throw the most epic Thursday night, those kids would go somewhere. Come on, that's what I'm saying. Why do you think the volunteers busted their tails? Why do you think we sew in? Why do we put on invites? Just so it looks good on the street? No, no, no. They're going somewhere on a Thursday, Friday night. And why not come to the house of God where they'll be inspired to maybe change the course of their life forever? And how many know they will? Man, I can't tell you. You know, we praise together, we pray together, and we serve together. Those are the three things that I never thought would be the cornerstone of my house. But to see my little girl praying over her friends in kids' church, oh man, you couldn't put a price tag on that. I'm telling you. So what are the next steps? I love this. In Philippians 4:8, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And here's the line. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and what? And your minds through Christ Jesus. So be anxious for nothing. But how many know that anxiety medication is the number one prescribed pill right now in America? We live in uncertain times. So you have all these anxious people because you know what? They're not renewing their mind on the things that Christ has. Maybe they don't even know who their Savior is. But even so, maybe they do. But they're not in the church that's talking about renewing their mind, speaking life, believing in the miracles, believing in deliverance. You know, tomorrow night there's going to be deliverance. Some of you might not even know what that means. That means some demons are getting busted off people. It's Ghostbusters 101, people. And I love it. If you've never seen someone get delivered, I'd show up just to come watch it. You're like, listen, you're going to spend $20 at Sinopolis or $10 to see someone get delivered. I'm doing deliverance all day long. Hey, I know it gets, you get a little awkward. Maybe you should lose that friend, but I'm telling you, it's what kept me in the house because I was like, that was so radical. I need to go see it again. I mean, I had my own stuff I had to get busted off. It helped me think clear. You know, if you ever hear voices in your head, tomorrow night I'd show up. And I'm not speaking of lightly. People should fly in. I mean, that's how serious. Deliverance changed my life. It's changed some of my friends' life. I've watched people that were addicted to substances that got set free in a moment. And now they're serving on teams, married, and they never thought they would be. I just read a story about a guy walking down Gay Pride Festival that heard the voice of God, set down his Gay Pride sign, went over to the side and just started crying. Didn't know what to do. Just walked into the house of God. And guess what? Someone, thank God, was there to love him and get him delivered. Last verse, and then we're going to pray. In Matthew 6:18-19. And he said, I tell you, Peter, on this rock. He's talking to him, Peter the rock. That's you and I. On this rock, on you, he's going to build his church. That's how he's going to do it. You know how he's going to do it? And the gates of hell should not prevail against it. Verse 19, we got verse 19 up here. I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. You know what the keys are? Prayer. I'm going to give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind in prayer on earth must, what is already bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth must be what is already loosed in heaven. This church doesn't get up here. Mitch, I mean, I love the guy, man. Moved out from Chicago just to chase a girl and said, if you're not in church, this thing's over. He's like, all right, I'll go to church. Now he's up here praying months later. He didn't get handed a manual that says these are the things you pray. You know what he did? He just got around, and now he's up here doing it. You think he's a changed man forever? I guarantee he is. But that's every one of you, because God's going to build his house on you and I, and the gates of hell don't stand a chance. So if I could have you guys all bow your heads, close your eyes, listen. It all starts first with knowing who your Savior is. The second part we'll get to, but the first part is, man, I don't know if I've ever given my life to Jesus. Or maybe I did once, but due to negative circumstance, toxic people, I took it back and started rolling my own way again. And just in the quietness of your heart, in the stillness of right here, right now, in this sacred moment, if you want to give your life back to Christ, you've done it on your own, the stinking thinking's still been there, and you're, God, I need your help. I just want you to raise your hand so I can pray for you right now. We're going to make a stand. I see your hand, young lady. I see your hand. I see your hands up in the corner up there, right down here in the front. Hands up all over this place. When we make a stand, the devil loses his grip. And right now, that's what's doing. God, I'm giving you control of my life. I need your help. I know I've fallen short. I see your hand, sir. Once you've raised your hand, you could put it down. That was awesome. You know, I just want us, there were so many of you, I'm just going to ask you guys to, everybody stand up in this place. We're going to do two parts tonight, because one, I'm going to pray. We're going to have a ministry night tonight just to get our minds rewired and reset tonight. But for those of you that raised your hand, what I want you to do, because there were so many of you, if you guys could just slip out of your seats and come on down here, I'm going to pray with you. We're going to have our team up here. So come on down right now. Anybody that's been to church, that's given their life to Christ, has done the walk, and it's not the walk of shame. I know what those look like. Trust me. I had a couple of those. But this is the walk down to the altar where your life is forever altered. One of the greatest things Pastor Jurgen ever said to me was, you can stay in your seat, but you can sometimes stay the same. And the devil gets in your voice to get your heart racing, intimidate you, bully you, like that's the only weapon he has. But you say, fooey to the devil, I'm walking down there with my brothers and sisters. You get altered on the altar. Man, come on. I know you, powerhouse. Slap high fives all the way down here. Come on. It's one of the greatest decisions you guys could ever make. Even if you made it before, you're sticking it to the devil tonight. And listen, if you didn't raise your hand but you still want to come down, man, come down. We're gonna do a prayer together right now. So listen, as one church, let's pray this prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for tonight. God, I give you my life. Thank you, Jesus, for dying on a cross for my sin. We take away all shame and guilt. I let you drive my life. I give you all the glory, and I'll follow you all the days of my life. And everybody said, amen. Come on. Hey, listen. This is the cool thing right here. This guy right here is not a supermodel. He's married, baby on the way, but he is attractive. But he's a powerhouse for the kingdom. Behind you is a prayer warrior. They're going to give you a Bible, something like this one right here. And they're going to give you a book called Following Jesus. You know, the best things that you can do is read that Following Jesus book and get in the Word. Okay? The next steps would be, if you've never been baptized, I'd get baptized. You go down one way, you come out of that water completely different. My wife got baptized. I thought I married a different woman the next day. I'm like, what? It was amazing. So I'm going to have you turn that way. I don't know left or right. I just know that way. And let these people behind you pray for you. Get your contact and shift a gear in your mindset. Come on, church. Let's give it up for that. It was amazing, people. So awesome when people give their life to Christ. Never the same. We should always throw a party. Matter of fact, I'm gonna go out tonight and celebrate just for them. But here's the other thing. Life was meant to be celebrated, not endured. And you mind if I do a little quick prayer? Listen, this is what we're gonna do. If you feel like you need to reset the thermostat of your mind, not your brain, your mind, it needs to get rewired tonight. I want you to come down here tonight. I'm gonna have the ministry team come forward. Anybody that wants to, listen, I'm going to pray, because this is where I've seen people get set free. I've seen poverty mentalities totally broken in one prayer. I've seen negative, toxic people that were insecure and control freaks completely shifted in one night. I can't tell you how many times I've been down there renewing my mind, because the devil convinces us you don't need to do it. It's just a little bit. Hey, listen. Hey, any stinking thinking's too much for me. So don't be bashful. Come on down. I'm going to do a prayer real quick, and then make sure that you do not leave for prayer if you want it. We'll stay as long as we need to. So Heavenly Father, God, I thank you for tonight. God, I thank you for the weapon, which is called your word. And God, I ask, Lord, that your word falls on these men and women tonight, Lord. Lord, that I ask that peace and joy fill them up on the inside, Lord. God, we take every thought captive right now. Anything that's not of you, we bind in the name of Jesus. God, by the blood of the cross, I ask that you renew our minds. You delete any memory, any negative inputs, any negative circumstances that may have walked through or walked in. And God, we speak healing, resurrection power healing over their minds. God, we ask that, Lord, you put the right people around them, great influences around them that speak life. God, we know that you have plans for us, that you have great destiny for us, God, that doesn't matter where we've been, it matters where we're going. So God, we thank for supernatural provision over every one of us in this house. And God, those that made a step towards your altar, a step towards prayer, right now you're quickening, right now their mind, Lord. We come against the lies of the devil. Any lies, any roots, any generational curses, we break right now in the name of Jesus. God, I thank you, Lord, that this is a church that exudes life, that exudes your light, that exudes the promises of your word. That, God, that if we need to get and start quoting Galatians with the fruits of the Spirit, God, that, God, there's an abundance of trees producing incredible fruit. God, we give you honor tonight. I thank you for this house. And I thank you for these men and women. Bless them tonight. In your son's name we pray.
Thank you so much for joining us online. We hope you had a powerful experience. We want to take this time to personally help you navigate the next steps in becoming connected. If you made a decision for Christ today, need prayer, or want more information about our church, go to our website, c3sandiego.com. And if you didn't get a chance to give online during service and would like to contribute financially, you can go to c3give.com and click on the giving option that works best for you. We look forward to hearing from you. See you at church.